Shalom lachem.
Hello, thank you for joining us to our show, a series of show, A New Life. Hello, Rav Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Nitzan Mazoz. Hello. We're glad that you're with us, and today we would like to learn from the Rav Lightman how we can build our lives here in Israel in a new way, how to build a new life, how to make it so that each one of us will get up in the morning and feel that he's connected to others, that we have good relationships, that we're not defensive, closed off, each one in his own corner, but that we're together and feel good. And this vision that Rav Lightman is teaching us of how to build the Israeli society as one family, and then give an example of this to others, is the topic that we are dealing with. And in order to understand what it means to live as one family, we are choosing each time a different aspect out of the Israeli atmosphere, out of the Jewish atmosphere, and looking at it again, not by looking at our past, by seeing how we can create something new between us in the future. And our topic today is Jerusalem. So Nitza, lead us to Jerusalem. So Jerusalem is a city that has always awakened us. It was always the heart of our aspirations, of our dreams, of our hopes. We always pray to reach Jerusalem, to come to it. The prayer was always that we shall be in Israel, in Jerusalem next year. This is something that transferred from generation to generation. It's a very special symbol for the Jewish people. And today we'd like to discuss with you the meaning of Jerusalem. Why does it awaken us so? Why is it so emotionally touching for us in each way that we think about it? So the first question is, what does Jerusalem symbolize for the Jewish nation? First of all, who is the Jewish nation? It's a group of people that disconnected from the inhabitants of Babylon through Abraham, a group that felt that through connection between them and the love of brothers, they can get out of this crisis that happened in Babylon with the distancing and hatred between everyone, just like the crisis that we're seeing today in the world. And then it was all of human civilization that spread afterwards. But they had this question of what to do. They began to not understand one another, or to escape from their problems. They had problems with education, with culture, with relationships. And everything fell apart. And it was such a good place. I don't know if there was a place just like this on the face of the earth where everything was good for agriculture, for with the fish from the great rivers around there. And everybody was united. Before the crisis of the ego erupted between them and they reached the crisis of the Tower of Babylon. And when Abraham began to research the matter, he understood immediately that it's a problem because they don't have one idea in their minds, the idea of connection. Just like they had connection before and the egoism erupted between them and got greater. Because actually we're constantly growing, our egoism keeps growing, and this is what happens from generation to generation. So they had a good life together, but suddenly the ego erupted, and then this crisis happened, and they stopped understanding one another. And then when he researched this matter, and Abraham was one of the greater priests of Babylon, he understood that what we need to do is to return to the same state of connection they had before. We need to work on this connection and love. And if one understands, if he's balanced and understands what's going on, he has a healthy perspective of life, then he can see that this is what you need to do. This was also easy, because it's not that I'm Now, I'm not saying that Abraham wasn't great, but it was easy because you could see what happened before the crisis and then what happened during the crisis, and he understood that after the crisis we need to go back to being as brothers as they were before. But people couldn't agree to that anymore because the ego was controlled them, and the conflicts between them, the fights that they discovered between them, they couldn't imagine they could even go back to what had before. Each one thought, but he did that to me, and he did that to me, and so on and so on, and they were entrenched in this. So then he took people from this Babylon who were able to hear him, meaning they were wise enough. They understood that even though I have inside me all these egoistic eruptions, and I want to compete with others, and I have envy and lust, and my honor is important to me, everything's burning within me, but I understand that this is not life. Together with all of these attributes that are now aflame in me, I understand that I need to rise above them, that above all these crimes, love shall cover them. The crimes are that I want to step over everyone and determine my relationships with others in this way. That I think this is the correct way to go about my relationships. But the truth is that no, that we need to cover them with love. This is what Abraham told everyone. He disseminated his method to everyone. And whoever came. The connection between everyone from hatred to love was established gradually. These degrees, this is called the building of the land of Israel. The desire that is all directed towards love and connection. And when you build such a unity, there are a lot of processes involved, because to reach love out of hatred is not simple. And within these bonds that you build above the hatred, when you build this love, it's like a bridge that you build between everyone, each one building a bridge towards his friend. So then it turns out that all of these connections, these ties, they need to come together. And when they all come together, they are called the heart of Israel. All the bridges between you and him and he and her and so on, until you have such an umbrella. These are a lot of bridges between everybody that create, out of these narrow bridges between each and every one, they create in this integrality a kind of dome. And this is called that all crimes shall be covered by love, a covering. And the center of this dome is Jerusalem. And you can imagine that there's a kind of button on top of it, which is the Mountain of Moriah and the Holy Temple and the Holiness of Holiness and so on. So everything advances in such a way into this tip. So the beginning of this rising above the ego to create this bridge is called the land of Zion, the desire to leave. Zion is from the word to exit. It's when we exit the ego and build a new desire. What is egoism exactly? It's how we repel each other, wanting to use others for my benefit, and if he loses anything from that, the more he loses, the better. So the ego is exactly what repels each one from the other. So it's the extent to which you want to connect and feel that you cannot connect to others. This is the ego. It's not just when I want to eat two portions at lunch or or that I want to sleep for a week, or that I'm lazy, or I spend a lot of money. No, the ego is using the other for my own benefit and to his loss, and that's it. That's the ego. It's the resistance to connection. And therefore, this escape, this exit, is called the land of Zion, the desire to leave the ego. And when we build out of this desire to leave the ego, also the desire to love, these are stages. First of all, there's a desire to leave, and then there is a desire to connect. The first stage is desire to leave the ego, the next is to connect, and the next stage is to be dependent on each other, to have guarantee between us, and to love each other. And then when you build it, when you try to do this, then there are all kinds of stages. And then you have the land of Zion, and at its center, at its heart, Jerusalem. This is actually the symbol that we need to build between us in our world, in our times, out of all the jealousy, hatred, lust, domination, and the great crisis in general that is that we are experiencing today, and it's getting worse and expanding, and it won't disappear as people want to calm everyone down, and nothing will happen until we, us Jews especially, unite in such a way. First of all, we'll understand that we need to exit our ego and to connect between us. And then this is called that we're building the land of Zion in this connection between us. Not that we actually geographically live it. And then we want to reach a state of love and unity. And this is called Jerusalem. There's an expression that says to raise Jerusalem to the head of my joy. What does this mean? Because I need to reach a state, it's difficult to describe this to oneself at this time, that the greatest of joys is if we are all in mutual love for one another. But really, there is no better situation, a more perfect situation, because then everyone is integrated with one another. They feel one another. Everybody feels secure. Everybody gives this mutual guarantee to the others. And this is the greatest joy. There is no greater joy than being above all these calculations, than the whole this world disappears, because this world is impressed on us as a place that we always need to be concerned and scared and worried about our lives, and to constantly run around after all kinds of solutions for problems that we experience, how to turn out all kinds of fires. And here we're talking about this great wide land, which is entirely projecting goodness and happiness, calm. We even feel that the land of Jerusalem itself, that it brings such a special influence or projection. And a person feels that it's already not from this world that we're used to. There are also phenomena in Jerusalem that are special. People who go to Jerusalem sometimes feel that there are some special vibrations, and it is so, because it's a place where the upper world, we could say. What is this upper world? Love, the connection between us. It's hidden, but it's there. potentially. Is it a memory? No, it's not a memory. There is no memory. There's no time. It's also there right now. We just need to discover it. What's there? This power of love. In Jerusalem? Of course, in Jerusalem. If we discover it, we will see, we'll each feel that we are in the land of Israel, and then from it, we'll feel it in the entire world. This is the concept of the land of Israel spreading to the entire world afterwards. It's the land of the tzvi, of the deer. There is a special feeling. Everybody feels it. And it's not just plain psychology. Even people who come without any prior background feel it. This is something well known. Of course, it depends on a person's sensitivity. And if he's a resident, then he feels differently than somebody who comes and enters it for the first time. But this is the way it happens. It's like there is a kind of essence there of the power of love. What is it? It's the specific power of love and unity that we will need to discover in the future. And Jerusalem is where it is especially revealed in its hidden, in this hidden form, in the opposite form. Therefore, it's a city that finds itself in struggles, great struggles between all the religions and faiths and different sectors. And I'm even talking about today, not just history, that if we, between us, as Jews, will begin to behave in all of Israel and later in Jerusalem. I don't believe that it will happen in Jerusalem first because it's the place of the greatest shell, of the place of the greatest opposing forces where the struggle is greatest. If gradually all over Israel we will change and want to conquer Jerusalem with this love, then we will just succeed gradually. And then we will truly see the city of David differently. Over the years, the city fell, it was ruined, it was conquered, many things went over it. So you've described this network of connection that was built between people before, where each one builds a bridge to the other and connecting above all these feelings that separate us. How did it fall? Why did these bridges break apart? What happened to them? Well, this happened a number of times. Abraham built a group that turned into one great family. But in the generations that are called Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they built this and they lived in this way. This was not yet a nation, because a nation is only after the giving of the Torah, after the exit from Egypt. What does this mean? First of all, they left Babylon when the crisis happened and built this dome of connection between them. And then the ego erupted once more, and this is called that they are in Egypt. Not geographically. It means that Egypt is controlling them, that Pharaoh, the hatred is erupted between them again, and they couldn't again understand each other properly, and there were all kinds of problems. It's not that they were there and there were Egyptians within a person. It's Egyptians is just like this foreign force between them, just like in Babylon. And this dome, it fell apart. And this is called that the Egyptians controlled them. What does it mean? That the ego erupted and all of the connections and ties that they had between them broke apart between man and his friend. And when did it start breaking? Even with the quarrel between the brothers of Jacob and the sons of Jacob and the selling of Joseph. And later, when they saw they couldn't continue any longer, they overcame it between them, And also Moses arrived and was a leader just like Abraham, and somehow he connected them in order to at least overcome and rise above this hatred, above the Pharaoh, above Egypt within them, in their heart. This is all within a person's heart. And then, this is called that they escaped from Egypt, exited Egypt, from the control of the ego. At least they rise above it. From today, at least we will make all kinds of agreements and see that we do not hate each other. And this is called that they're out of Egypt. And so they began to work on themselves to build this dome. All crime should be covered by love. And they built it in such a way, and the sign of it was that they entered the land of Israel and they built the first temple. This is the symbol of building the great strong connection between them. And they couldn't keep that up. The hatred erupted once more and grew once more. And then this is called that they left for the exile of Babylon with the whole matter of Esther and Mordecai. And then they returned after 70 years. And again, they overcame the rift between them. And again, they connected between them. And again, they built this dome between them. All crime should be covered by love. Each time it was towards love. And they built the second temple. And then they had the great crisis, because even the 24,000 students of Rabbi Akiva fell from the degree of love to the degree of hatred. And by that, this bridge between them was broken, and the second temple. And they went into exile, because all the processes that we're going through in this world are completely parallel to what's happening in this world. Between the spiritual world, there's a parallel to this world. If we have a connection between us, we have the land of Israel. And even greatest connection, we have it. We have Jerusalem, an even greater connection. We have the Holy Temple. So if we have this connection, then we have these things. And if not, we fall. So when we went to exile, we fell into it. And according to our tradition, we are now before the whole redemption, the full redemption. Because in accordance to our tradition and the people's psychology, the inner structure of East Jew, we have to go through four exiles and four redemptions. So we've gone through four exiles, and now we're at the end of this last exile. And we're at the entrance of this last redemption. So it's now that we need to renew these ties between us and build this bridge between one another and build this dome in Jerusalem with the mountain of Moriah and the Holy Temple on it. And this, if it will be built, it will be as a result. And always it's a result of the connection between us. And therefore, there's no point of building anything with bricks. You will just get some building, you can make a museum out of it, and that's it. Because we need to rise in our hearts to this level of the Holy Temple. Holiness is love bestowed between people. So this is actually what we need to be doing. And we need to do this not only for ourselves, because today this crisis is not only between us, it's all over the world. And this is why it's called the full redemption, that it needs to be to include everyone, the entire world. We need to be a light unto the nations this time. We need to show an example how to build this love, these ties between everyone. And therefore, the entire world is in a crisis right now. The whole world is in this mutual hatred and doesn't know how to get along and so on. So this is only as a sign today that we are at the brink of our final correction, that the bridges that we shall build now, this dome that we will build, the holy temple in our hearts that we will build, this will be the third temple, the whole eternal temple. Because after this, our egoism does not erupt anymore. The ego needs to erupt and bring us opportunities more and more to build this dome of peace above it four times. And this is because in man's nature, there are also these 4 degrees of the inanimate, vegetative, animal, and speaking levels. And for the first time, and therefore you need to have 4 exiles and 4 redemptions. That on the inanimate level, the ego erupts in us, and then we build a dome, and then on the vegetative level, and on the animal level, and on the speaking level. And in such a way, we complete our egoism, and it doesn't have anywhere to go anymore, or anywhere to erupt to anymore, and then we can rest. I like to go back to the state of the good connection between people. In a time that we were connected and there was love between us, and we'd feel that we're all like in one network of love, of warmth, of goodness, of bounty. In the time that Jerusalem was built, all the people would go to Jerusalem 3 times a year, and symbolically it's told that people would come to Jerusalem from all over the land, and the residents of Jerusalem, because of this warm feeling and the open hearts, they would have everyone stay at their homes without any fee. And this happened 3 times a year. And when we look at that from, you know, the perspective of history, there's no doubt that the relationships between people were different, that the connection between the hearts was of a different type that maybe today we can't even understand. So just to illustrate this to ourselves, 3 times a year, all the nation comes to Jerusalem and everybody opens their homes and they all have this one big party of connection, of unity, of warmth. I'd like for us to dive emotionally into such an atmosphere. What happens there between people? What do they feel? What is happening between their hearts? What world are they experiencing there that we don't understand, see, or taste today? I don't know how to express it. I am taking an example from a mother who is hosting all her children at home with all their families, with all the grandchildren. And she has a home that is great, that is big enough to accept everyone, to host everyone. She has enough food for everyone and bed covers and everything they need for everyone to come over 3 times a year and for everyone to be near her in such a way. So I can describe things in such a way. And in our days, we don't have a different symbol of love except for a mother and her children. And therefore, this is what I give as an example, how all the residents of Jerusalem accepted all the people of the nation from all the different places of Israel into Jerusalem. Let's say I'd come from Safed and I'd make my way to Jerusalem and come to Jerusalem, and I'd walk around for that week when everybody came to Jerusalem. What would I feel in the air? What would I have? What would I... What would I feel then? Was there such a network of security? Of course, everybody felt secure, because in times when we are united, when we are interconnected, there is no fear of any enemy or of anyone. Nobody can touch us or hurt us. There's nothing to say about that, because this force of love between us, it protects us. I don't even know how to say in 1,000,000%. This is above all doubt. So here we're talking about an action that time causes, that we go up to Jerusalem three times a year. This is very special. I don't know how to put it. This is something, a coming together of the entire nation to feel love, connection, unity, to study. They learned and taught. And it wasn't just to come to Jerusalem. There were also courts there and study halls, and the nation went through something very intense there. They all rubbed against each other, everybody together in one place. It's not simple, you're right. And yet, together with that, we are all directed toward one, and they all wanted to rise above and to discover the connection, mutual connection, even more than before. Out of habit, out of study, this was something that was also run this way by the priests and the Levites. It wasn't just a visit. There were people who organized it, and there was police, and this was a very extensive organization. It's clear to everyone that he's coming there in order to bring a sacrifice, meaning his desire to be closer to everyone. Because you can't bring a sacrifice if you have evil, strange, foreign thoughts, meaning in a position to everyone else. A sacrifice means that I have something in me, in my ego, that is still not so clean, and I want to cover even it with love. And then I can make this sacrifice. I want to work on it. I want to correct it inside me. And this external sacrifice that I bring, some pigeon or fish, some bread or wine, doesn't matter what, maybe even something from the animal life. It is only a symbol of what I feel, that the degree of egoism that I still haven't cleaned in my heart, in my relation to others, either on the inanimate level or the plant, vegetative level or the animal level. This is how I then make a sacrifice. Sacrifice, korban, is from the word to come closer to others. This entire process is described in the literature, the sources that describe this event, when everybody come together from the east and the west to the same place, like a kind of event, process of coming together that is very special. And many times people came there that weren't Jewish because they felt that there was something wondrous happening. And some of them went through this process of converting to Judaism within this process. And so it's described how in this process there were the priests and the Levites, but there was a feeling of perfect order. Everyone had time to make sacrifices. And because if everybody loves the other, nobody pushes the other or steps on the other, as this is clear. And then in such a case, everything falls into place. Even if you stand very tight, tightly together, there's space for everybody, of course. So in the cooperation there, and the love and the fraternity, because the heart understands, you don't need to shout in the speakers, you don't need police, even though there were people who kept the order. But it was something that happened out of the willingness of the heart. And from here we can understand why did they feel for years before the crisis and the destruction that they were coming close to it, because they already felt that they didn't have this order anymore, that they didn't understand each other as much. They fell further apart, and they began to act when they wanted to show love. it wasn't quite real, and the great holy priest wasn't exactly holy. He began to take things for himself into his own pocket. There were all kinds of such signs of the decline, and as much as people wanted to, and these were special, wise, and clean of egoism, as much as they wanted to fix it, they couldn't. And so there were signs of it. 7 years before the destruction of the Second Temple, they already felt that destruction was coming. So this perfect harmony and order and fraternity was beginning to disintegrate. Yes, this love, this honor from the nation that the great priest had. Because he was great, because he was truly great in his bestowal and love, in his spiritual degree, in this expression of his love, that he was great, but already they could buy this priesthood with money. So this crisis was already there, but it had not yet erupted in actuality between everyone. And afterwards, spread from the top to the bottom, also to the nation itself. So now when you were talking, this reminded me a little bit of, and to some extent, of the period when Jerusalem was conquered in our times. And there's a short excerpt here of what a soldier wrote after he participated in this conquering of Jerusalem. This is very exciting, emotional. Gradually, I began to come closer to the wall, the Wailing Wall, and somebody said, "Thank you, God, for bringing us to this day." And I couldn't say amen. I only put my hand on the rock, and the tears that came from my eyes were not my own. They were tears of hope, of prayers, of Jewish songs and dances. They were tears that burnt the great gray rock. This reminded me of our reality today. I mean, when I look at what this soldier wrote not so long ago when we conquered Jerusalem, not so long ago in the War of Independence, maybe this is about the Six-Day War. Yes, exactly, the Six-Day War. So the feeling that we experienced there, it's not even alike to what we're feeling today when we have Jerusalem in our hands. There was this feeling of connection and how it came apart gradually. We don't feel it, but also we really don't have control over Jerusalem. There are all kinds of foreign forces there. We can't say that we control Jerusalem. What do you mean foreign forces? Foreign forces, you have East Jerusalem, West Jerusalem, you have all kinds of representations of all kinds of churches there. Also an international status. We don't rule it, meaning the people of Israel does not rule Jerusalem, because there still isn't a nation of Israel. The nation of Israel is a nation that is united in mutual guarantee, just like we became a nation on the condition that we accepted this law of love thy friend as thyself, to keep it, to come closer to it. This is at the event of the Sinai Mountain, that we will be in Arvut, in this connection between us, and advance towards love thy friend as thyself. We do not advance towards this state of love thy friend as thyself and the keeping of this law, and therefore we're not yet called the nation of Israel in actuality. And of course, it doesn't mean that we're in the land of Israel, because the land is the desire. We don't have the desire to reach this mutual love, to build these bridges, this dome of love that will cover all the crimes between us. And therefore, also Jerusalem is not Jerusalem. It's a city where we feel something special, but it's hidden. It's not the same city. It's not the same light or inspiration that needs to have to be in this place if we would tie these ties between us, the ties of love. If we'd come closer to this state of the correct connections between us, we would rule this city and And we would feel this in this city and also circles around it in the entire world. And a very special state would show itself, where all these nations, the same Muslims and Christians, they would all want to build this third temple. This is what is written in the prophet, that the nations took Israel upon their shoulders and brought them to, and will bring them to Jerusalem to build the temple. And this is what will happen on the condition that we will be worthy of building this building of love, this symbol of love, and the connection between everyone. Because my home, it will be a home of prayer for all the nations, because we, as a light unto the nations, need to show them what it means to be connected and to exit this exile, this crisis, and to build this true life, this corrected life. What you're saying is that if we can conquer every other place in the world through war and force, the conquering of Jerusalem physically isn't really a conquering. And therefore, nobody actually needed it. What do you mean? So what? So whoever conquered Jerusalem, how did that help them? Nothing. Nobody built. The Romans wanted to do it. The Greek wanted to do it. They called it by all kinds of names of their own. But nothing came from it, and nothing. This is a city that nobody can rule unless they first are fit with it, to this place, to this city, meaning that he first of all will need to conquer the force of love. To conquer Jerusalem means that we need to first of all conquer the Jerusalem of our heart, which in our heart, the heart of stone will becomes a heart of flesh, even though inside is a heart of stone. We make it into a heart of flesh in the way we relate to others. I'd like to speak a little bit about the importance of Jerusalem and the world. You mentioned that the nations, that Jerusalem is important to all the nations, and it is considered the center of the entire world, the heart of the world, and it's special to everyone. What makes it the center of the world and a place where the entire world's eyes are turned to? It's as if everybody wants to conquer Jerusalem. Everybody wants to be there. Everybody wants a part in of Jerusalem to be there. Jerusalem. Wanting to conquer it is because nobody knows what's inside it. Nobody. So the Arabs built their mosque, and the Christians built, and all kinds of religions built. But that's not it. There's an inner attraction to this force that was left there from the force of love and connection that is above nature, because our nature is the evil inclination. And because there was such a force there that was above our nature, this is the force that everyone is attracted to and drawn to. And when they're drawn to this, they don't know why. They don't know why. There's a place for everything in our world, an expression. And therefore, this geographical place, it was impressed by this, the place itself, because once love resided in this place. And therefore, each person in the world has a kind of, more or less, either because he was there or he was told, he has a kind of, every culture in the world, let's say, has an inclination towards Jerusalem. It's interesting. I was in South America and I met Indians, but true Indians that live in the Andes Mountains. And they told me that in their culture also there are such things, that there is still a place with Jews. They didn't exactly know our names, but they knew there is such a thing, and this is interesting. These are Indians that don't have electricity or phones or anything. They live in a very, they're very strict in their culture and their tradition. They also have those coca leaves and their sheep and such things, and that's it, the yaks. And they know about it. Even they know about it. It's interesting. So then this even subconscious knowingness is causes them to be wanting to come to Jerusalem. They said they drove many, many miles to come to see me. They felt that I was coming there, and I was told about it, so I drove especially to meet them. This was in Colombia. I went to such a land, to such a country that is very unpleasant, and I also went especially to this place to meet them. What did they want to know from me? What did they want to hear? They know about love and mutuality and unity. You don't need to tell them about that. They understand this from their heart. And they feel that difficult times are coming, that they knew that at these times we will need to decide upon the correction of the world, and through it we will reach the world of love and goodness and unity. A person feels this in his heart, that this needs to happen, especially when he lives at the top of the mountain in nature. He feels that this is what needs to happen naturally. This is what there is in nature. What is the right way that we can unite all the cultures, all the religions, all the different nations around Jerusalem? This is natural because the same force of unity that came out of Babylon and began to build this power and pull people geographically from Babylon to Canaan, where we are today. And all of Babylon that didn't want to head towards this love and connection, it spread all over the world, all over, except for Jerusalem, except for the land of Israel, except for this place of unity. Supposedly it was around it. And now as we come back from all over the earth, we come back to this crisis, just like we had then, but not on the inanimate level, but after the vegetative and animal, on the speaking level. And so we are now coming back all over the earth. We're going back to this crisis that is shaking us all up so well. Then we can't build this Tower of Babylon anymore. We don't want to reach the sky anymore. Even on the ground, we can't build ourselves and in a way that we will cope, to just live simply. And so we find ourselves in the state that Jerusalem, the same land of Canaan, we need to turn it into the land of Israel. And so this nation of Israel, supposedly, the nation of Israel means that we're drawn to the love of others, all of Israel, our friends, to connection. If we are drawn to it, by that we build the nation of Israel out of self, because as people who are united correctly in these ties of love, and then we go from being just any nation to a holy nation, meaning that we are in this inter-bestowal to each other, When we say to a woman that you are sanctified to me, this means that we are mutually bestowing to one another. And then we reach love. And then the character of the place that we find ourselves in, it moves from the land of Canaan to the land of Israel. It's upgraded. And already it has all the characteristics of love. Also, in the land of Israel, you have something such circles as the inanimate, vegetative, animal levels. The inanimate is a certain level of unity, and the vegetative level is even stronger, the animal level even stronger. And then you have Jerusalem. In Jerusalem, you also have these degrees until you reach the Mount of Moriah and the holiness of holiness. And this is the order. And then finally, we turn this Tower of Babylon into the Holy Temple with all of the love that spreads from it to the entire world. And by that, we reach the whole redemption. And this is Jerusalem, as we hoped for. Chazal wrote many years ago that in the future, in Jerusalem, all the nations and kingdoms shall be united and come together in Jerusalem. Of course, not physically, but spiritually. This is the spiritual concept of Jerusalem. You already want to go there and build a hotel because a lot of tourists will be there. Well, I suppose there won't be so much room. But so what is the meaning here? That all of the kingdoms and nations will be gathered in Jerusalem. It's the heart of love. You need to unite all the hearts into one heart. And then the same spiritual concept. Nobody needs the rocks themselves, but you already have them now. But you need to take this concept and to make it alive in everyone. Not just in me or you, but in all of the nation of Israel, and out of the nation of Israel to the 70 nations of the world, and to reside in everybody equally. This is called that my home will be a house of prayer for everyone. How will we live? In love, in the love of others. Love thy friend as thyself. The Holy Temple. This is actually a very big issue, topic. What is the importance of building the Holy Temple in Jerusalem in our days especially? What is the significance of it? The significance is that if we reach the building of the Holy Temple in our heart, and just like our heart is comprised of all kinds of rooms and all kinds of transitions inside the heart, you can explain it in a very nice way how the Holy Temple is built according to the heart. They are the same in their structure. So if we reach a state in which our heart is full of love for everyone, then it is called the Holy Temple. And in accordance to that, we reach the understanding how to build the Holy Temple. We don't need to study history or of how it was built, how Bezalel built the temple, the tabernacle. They were the wise of heart. They knew this in their heart. He knew what it meant to express love, and therefore he built it in this way. He knew how to do it. Jerusalem is in our heart. It's between us. Where is it exactly? Where is Jerusalem in the network of relationships between us? When we build this common heart. Let's illustrate in a moment. We are saying that today everything is so interconnected. It's like we're living in this great network inside which it actually envelops all people wherever they are. So each one is like a point in the network, and all of us together, we comprise this one network. Yes, but this network, when it's revealed today more and more, it's revealed as a network that isn't corrected, that ties are not good, and therefore you feel a crisis. So then we are interconnected anyway, but these connections are distorted. Once these connections weren't revealed, they were there, but it's like they weren't active. And today, it's as if someone is activating these connections. It's like he's turning the light on more and more and more. And then we feel how much we are all together, but in a way that is corrupted, more and more. And so to the extent that this network is revealed in this broken way, we need to correct it. This is called that all crime should be covered by love, meaning that we need to continue in this network these true, these corrected channels of communication, of love. And then we will feel, when we operate and act through with love towards each one another, we'll feel that this network is like a heart, a general heart. And this is called the Holy Temple. This entire network of connections between us, when we are living in it, we live in it, and there's room there for everybody, because all the people of the world are in this network, and we are all inside it, as is written in the Holy Temple. And then my house shall be a house of prayer for all nations, because this is truly the home of God. God is nature, love, the good force, this connection that it needs to be revealed between us. Where is the place within this network? This network is also, I understand what you're asking. No, you go ahead and ask. So inside this network, how should I illustrate this network? What is it? Is it like a network of, like a cobweb or what? I recommend to describe it as a ball that's made of lots of bridges. This is this external ball, and then the more inner and more inner ball. Say there are such four balls. The inanimate, vegetative, animal, and speaking degrees in accordance to the different types of people, their desires. There are people with less egoistic desires and people with more egoistic desires. There are people who are naturally this way, those who are less egoistic. They are in the external ball. The more inner ball is more egoistic, and then more egoistic and more egoistic. The most egoistic people are the most inner part of the ball. And when they correct themselves, they are the most internal ones, the strongest ones. I don't feel nice to say this, but I am assuming that the most inner part is the Jews. Well, yeah. So where is Jerusalem in this network? Actually, everyone. Listen, all of these spheres or balls, this illustration is good for the time of the correction. And from this day onwards, we will begin to connect in a good way and with these good connections, because there's no other way. We see this future form that we all need to accept. If not, we will feel worse and worse from day to day, and we see that. And if today we would begin to connect properly between us, all of us, when each and every one of us completes his good correction and connection with everybody else, all of these spheres turn into one, which, and it will have no difference between anybody. Everything will be whole. Everything will be equal, a total equality. It's just whole, and that's it. This is called the final correction of a man's nature, and by that we reach this rest. And where's Jerusalem in this model? It covers everything. It's not that they're being pressed into Jerusalem, but Jerusalem grew more and more and is now enveloping all this big ball, this big sphere. Yes. Okay, our time is up for this talk, but still I'd like for you to summarize these amazing insights that have to do with connections and love between us through this concept of Jerusalem. If you could do that within two lines, we just have 30 seconds left. We should yearn for love and connection between everybody, what Abraham, our forefather, hoped for, what he aimed everybody towards. This is called to yearn for Jerusalem, both in our hearts and also the construction of Jerusalem in the corrected way in our world. So let us hope that this form will be in the heart of the world, and by that the world will reach its true rest. This is all I have to say. Love that resides upon everybody. This is called Jerusalem that is built. Thank you very, very much, Rav Lightman. Thank you, Nitza Mazoz. Thank you for being us. Love. Until next time, all the best and goodbye.